I'm standing here a couple of feet away from Ross Patrick, and I've got a kindred soul because he's an experimentalist. He's really a good hands-on engineer. He kind of reminds me of a young Lead Scallon himself. He lives here. In fact, he was born here, and he has been of inestimable value in helping us set this whole thing up and giving me little pointers and all that. What he's going to do is to duplicate the equipment that we have brought here, and he will be conducting long-term measurements over days and weeks and months as the seasons progress, as conjunctions, as the moon passes overhead, as it passes the sun, as birds fly south. I mean, you name it, he's going to be able to record it, and we will have an unprecedented database in about a year. And there are some unusual things measured celestially inside this monument. In fact, with that as a cue, let me just kind of take you on this walking tour. I'm walking around the southwestern edge of the castle. As I look back over this wall now, I'm on the western side. I can see the quarter moon is rising in the southeast behind me, shining through the palms. And I'm approaching now the front gate. The front gate of this place is on the western side. And it says entrance, and then on the side it says, you will see unusual accomplishments inside, signed Ed. Then you pass through an iron door. You can hear the iron door, right?
I can hear you. That's right.
And then you're inside this medieval castle with this wall all around, and where there would be an interior keep, there are stones placed in certain positions. There's topiary. And I was talking earlier tonight to a gorgeous young gal who is the chief gardener. And I said to her, you know, I'll bet the plants in there grow differently than other places. She says, oh, yes. So we are videoing this. Lori Hakala is here tonight, and we're putting all this on videotape. And what we're going to do is to talk to her and some other of the staff about the specifics that they have noted over the years of the unusual anomalies that attend this place, affecting not only the physics, not only the mechanics of lifting the stones, but the biology. To me, you know, this is connected to what makes life possible. In the hyperdimensional model, this physics is basically part of why we are alive, why the Earth is covered with extraordinary living things, why there's all kinds of fauna and flora, why certain species appear, George, dramatically in the fossil record and then disappear. In other words, we may have stumbled upon the secrets of evolution, creation, extinction, all as part of this underlying matrix, the fabric of the boundary between dimensions that creates the reality of three-dimensional existence. That's what's at stake here.
How could a person like Scallon be the only person to be able to do what the Egyptians possibly had done thousands of years before? Of all the people on the planet, how come?
I don't think he was. I am strongly suspecting that the whole story about Agnes and all that, Sweet 16, and him being heartbroken and coming down here to kind of build something to woo her back, to, you know, impress her and all that, I think that's a wondrous, gorgeous cover story. And the reason is that I think that, in fact, he built this as a time capsule of critical ancient information to be used and utilized by the generations that would live building up to 2012, George, to figure it out so we can avert, as I said to Art the other night, some of the things that may be coming around the year 2012. I think this is a message left literally in coral of this ancient physics, and he, as part of some kind of secret tradition, was not by his lonesome. I mean, look at what Lead Scallon was. In order to do all this, you have to be a stonemason, right?
Yeah.
A mason.
Yeah.
Duh. In other words, put those dots together.
I have a roundtable discussion on Thursday. I'll bring that up.
I think that's extraordinary. I mean, looking over my left shoulder here, I'm looking at a telescope where you stand in a certain place and you literally look over the apex of a pyramid and you look up through this tall obelisk with a hole with a crosshairs made of wire, and you are sighting literally from the top of the apex onto the pole star Polaris. There are other alignments in this place to get this. Orion. The belt stars of Orion. There are all kinds of homages to Isis. both in the form of her hieroglyphic symbol, the chair, the throne, as well as her incarnation as Hathor. I'm standing in front, actually, I'm now standing on the so-called center PowerPoint, the center of the vortex, the most powerful point in the castle, and I'm standing right in front of a fountain which has 16 waveforms around its periphery, looking like the waves we're seeing on the Accutron sensor tonight. And in the middle of this pool, George, there is a inscribed double tetrahedron.
I mean, the coincidences, and you know what I feel about that, are just astonishing. Tell me about some of the similarities that you're beginning to feel and sense between what's going on at Coral Castle and maybe some of the things at Sidonia, for example. You see anything
well,
there?
The Sidonians, or whoever built Sidonia, obviously was encoding important critical information about reality, this physics, in their architecture. What Lee Scanlon did here, again, one guy, 90 pounds, 5 foot, if he was, you know, an inch, is do the same thing. He left important critical clues to decode how he did this and what it means to all of us. I mean, if you go to the Enterprise website tonight, you will see a couple of boxes down on the main page below the Roswell Ancient of Days conference discussion. You will see a link called Interplanetary Day After Tomorrow, which is basically a move-off Art and Whitley's movie, which, by the way, we were in New York at the premiere, and it was a phenomenal experience to be there and see Art and Whitley and see them enjoying themselves on the screen.
I'm glad you had a chance to get there.
That film is an extraordinarily important cautionary tale because we're seeing changes all over the solar system that can only be explained by adaptation of this basic same physics. The weather is changing, and we have mainstream data from NASA, from NSF, from ESA, from all mainstream science institutions, which we've compiled now in a four-part report, which everyone should read. And the bottom line is that I'm here tonight measuring this physics to prove, A, it's real, and B, it's going to bite us in a very delicate part of our exterior, anterior, unless we get a handle on it, unless we figure it out and then apply a technology to basically ameliorate the effects that are coming, that are only going to get worse.